You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer.
Our associate pastors are Father Gary Hogan and Father Eric Wagner.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
As a young boy, I always dreaded it. And my sisters always dreaded it. And that was when my mom, when springtime arrived, got all the cleaning supplies and said it's time for spring cleaning. And we were all assigned either to dust furniture, take furniture outside and get all the dust out of it, beating it with a broom, or to wash windows with the Windex, vacuum underneath all the furniture and the beds. It was an all-day process. And my sisters and I had more important things to do. But my mom insisted that we do it. We read a familiar gospel story today about Jesus cleansing the temple. Serve an image for us to remind us that the season of Lent is a time for us to cleanse our temples, to cleanse ourselves of sin and those things that should not be part of our lives, and maybe to bring in those things that would help to make us a better disciple. Jesus cleansed the temple because people were no longer coming there because God was the center of their lives. They were coming there because it was a place to buy things, a place to sell things, a place to take advantage of people, to cheat people, as the money changers were gouging people and changing the coins so they had the right money to make their offering with at the temple. Jesus understood well what was happening here. A reminder to us that, yes, Lent is a time to ask ourselves, where is God in our lives? Is God first in our lives, or does God take a back seat to other things that we consider more important, whether it be wealth, money, power, or pleasure? The church calls it this season a spring house cleaning, time of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, to cleanse ourselves and try to let God be first in our lives once again. For it's only when we put God first in our lives that God can help us to find the joy and the happiness in this life that God wants us to find. That we can share the new life that Christ has won for us by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Yes, it's not something that we necessarily look forward to, but we know that it needs to be done. We need to take stock of our lives and cleanse the temples of our spirit, so that we can truly live as disciples of the Lord Jesus and always say that we are disciples that always put God first. You hear me talk a lot about stewardship, and that's what stewardship is, a way of life that always puts God first. We know that we are not always faithful stewards, and that sometimes other things get higher priority in our lives than our God. It's no accident that when Jesus gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments, that the very first commandment was, you shall worship the Lord your God and have no strange gods before you. We may think to ourselves, that's hardly relevant for us today. We don't worship inanimate objects, rocks, animals, whatever it might be. But yet we know sometimes we make other things, other people our God. And we give them greater priority than we give to the one true God. That's why Jesus gives us that as our first commandment, to have no strange gods before you, to love God above all things, he puts in the Gospels. But yet, we know that's not always the case. And so then it's an opportunity for us to get our lives back into the right relationship and get our priorities right so that we can truly be the best version of ourselves that God has called us to be. The first three of those Ten Commandments are about our relationship with God. The next seven or about our relationship with others. As Jesus reminded us time and time again, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. That we cannot separate love of God from love of neighbor. The second commandment talks about not taking the name of God in vain. We know that we live in a society and a culture that sometimes is very vulgar and profane in its language. And sometimes people refer to that as adult language. That's a euphemism. We should name it what it is. It is profane, vulgar, inappropriate language. And we need to go against the grain sometimes, whether it be in the workplace or on the athletic field or wherever it might be, to speak with purity of heart, symbolizing that God is first in our lives and that we are willing to stand up for what we believe. It is a great way of evangelization because people are not used to hearing that. People using clean, pure, appropriate language all the time. That gets people's attention. A very effective form of evangelization. Thirdly, keep holy the Sabbath, God told the people of Israel. I probably shared this story with you before. Back in 1998, I had an opportunity to be on a tour of the Holy Land. And we were staying at a very nice modern hotel in the city of Jerusalem. And my room was on the 16th floor. On Saturday, the Sabbath, when I was going to take the elevator up to my room, I noticed that one of the four elevators had a special sign on it that said, Sabbath Elevator. I thought, well, try it out. I got on the Sabbath elevator. It didn't take me long to figure out what that meant. For Orthodox Jews, it's considered manual labor to push an elevator button on the Sabbath. And so to get to your room without pushing a button means that you stop at every floor automatically. It took me a while to get to the 16th floor, but I'd never forgotten what the Sabbath elevator is. How do we keep our Sundays? Is there anything different about our Sunday? The fact that you're here, of course, a sign that you do desire to keep the Lord's Day holy. But again, we know that Sundays have sort of maybe lost their flavor from our childhood days when everybody wasn't so busy by doing many other things, when we tried to make some family time and made Sundays truly special. Lent might be a time for us as families and as individuals to take a look at that. How can we make Sunday more special for us and our family and keeping the Lord at the center of what we do? Again, this Lenten season is the church's invitation to us for a spring house cleaning. Maybe we kind of dread it. There's other things we'd rather do. Lent is not quite half over yet. We'll reach the halfway point later this week. Today is the 19th day, the third Sunday. So we still have an opportunity to continue to examine our lives and to see if we're putting things in the right order and realizing that each and every day God gives us choices. And the choices that we make reflect the values that we have. Do those choices reflect the value of our relationship with God? Do they reflect that we truly put God first in our lives? Doing that indeed is not the common way, the ordinary way, or the popular way. And to many in our world, it seems like foolishness. But St. Paul reminded us in our second reading today in his letter to the Corinthians that the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. Let us seek to follow God's way so that we can find the fullness of life that God wants for all his people.